This episode of the show is brought to you by Audible. You can get a free 30-day trial and free audiobook of your choosing by going to audibletrial.com/missspots. Choose from over 180,000 different titles, such as Chris Jericho's latest book, No is a Four-Letter Word. It's even narrated by the man himself. Audiobooks are perfect for the person on the move. Believe me, they're great. Maybe you want a mystery novel or a biography of someone you love. Audible has it all. Plus, it's free to try. If you don't like it, which would be weird, cancel and keep your free audiobook that you downloaded forever. Go try it now at audibletrial.com/missspots. Audible. Listening is the new reading.
Hey, Mike. I want to welcome you and all our guests to the season premiere episode of the Missspots podcast.
Kevin, we don't really do seasons since this is a podcast. It's a weekly thing. We don't really have off weeks all that much or an off season. You know, it would be kind of like saying that the nightly news has seasons.
Oh, someone should really tell Vince McMahon.
This and other obvious truths coming up on the Missspots podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a free event.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game!
You know, if we did real seasons, I would say we're in season 47 right now.
Yeah, they'd be those like abbreviated. They would be like Better Call Saul. We'd have like 10 to 12 episodes.
Yeah, and multiple of them in the same year.
Oh, well, that's how math works. Yeah, because I believe there's 52 weeks in a year, and 52 divided by 12 equals numbers.
Many numbers.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about some wrestling, and the last, episode of the Missspots podcast as we know it, because shit's getting weird next week with SmackDown moving to Friday nights. Pretty much we're just going to talk about Raw next week. We'll be kind of talking about SmackDown the following week before we talk about Raw. This is bizarre.
I think we're really just going to be talking about wrestling. The landscape of pro wrestling and what's going on, what's interesting, what we think about it, and maybe not talking specifically on show-by-show basis. Have we decided that we are going to start to put the show out on Fridays, or is that something that we haven't decided yet?
We haven't decided that yet, so okay. Stay tuned, folks.
Yeah, okay, sorry for dropping that bombshell, but that was something that we did talk about.
That may not happen.
Hey, Mike, let's make a note. Let's talk about that when we're done recording.
Note.
Okay, cool. Michael, let me ask you a question.
I'm ready to hopefully give an answer.
I don't want to run down Raw. I don't want to run down SmackDown. I want to talk about NXT from last week.
Okay.
Did you watch the show?
No.
You did not watch the show?
I did not have a chance to, no.
Oh, my God. I'm very surprised. I'm shocked by this, Mike. Do you know anything about the spoilers? Do you know the rundown, any of that stuff? Well, I thought... My first question to you is, I always assume you have the answers to this, and maybe you don't. They did the first hour on USA and a second hour on the WWE Network.
Oh,
did you know about this?
No, I didn't know about that.
Okay, this is a thing that happened. Is this going to be the way they do it going forward? Question mark?
I'm Ron Burgundy.
I was dumbfounded by this. In fact, I was not going to watch the WWE Network side of it. Kind of out of protest. It's a little annoying to go, oh, now I'm going to switch over and watch. Or I was watching both on on playback, you know, from my DVR and then on the WWE Network. So it wasn't that big of a deal, but it was definitely strange. And I decided to watch it because I wanted to see the full production, and I knew the spoilers. I knew what was going on. I wanted to see it all. But the first hour on USA was very good. The opening match, which was the Fatal 4-Way women's match for the number one contender to Shayna Baszler's title, was great. It was hard-hitting. It was fast. The style was just... It really was leaps and bounds stylistically over what we're seeing from the women's division on a regular basis on Raw and SmackDown. I'm not going to say that everyone's more talented. I think Becky Lynch and Charlotte and all of them are great. But stylistically, it just felt like they had more room to breathe. I don't know what it was. Maybe I'm just always seduced by the smaller crowds and the more, and just kind of the simpler, less polished version of pro wrestling that NXT tends to be. And it still was that in this first episode on USA, but the match was wonderful.
Yeah, I heard that Io Shirai kind of stole the show in that match.
She was great. There was another person other than Candice LeRae and Bianca Belair. The other person was not familiar with because I have not been watching NXT, and she was very good too. Overall, it was just really, really good. There was a squash match in there featuring someone that was in the breakout tournament that I wasn't familiar with. I liked it. I thought that it was I like seeing a squash here and there as a nice little quick move. The Velveteen Dream and Roderick Strong was not the best I've ever seen Dream, not the best I've ever seen Strong, but a very compelling and a good storyline. It was a good show. It was not, before the show, Triple H comes on and says, you know, sometimes the landscape will change so fast, and blink and you'll miss it. Don't blink. That's typical WWE hyperbole. There was nothing revolutionary on this show, I don't think, in any way, shape, or form. It was a very solid episode of NXT television that delivered good matches. The announcing was great. Just so much better. I missed it so much. I miss this kind of announcing the moves, announcing it, talking about, oh, he didn't get his body high enough on him for the pin. He didn't get his weight on his shoulders. That's why he was able to kick out. That kind of stuff that we get sporadically on the main roster was the focus of calling the matches on this. It was just a really, really good presentation, and I was happy to see it. I know I just talked a lot, but I guess because you didn't see it, I'm trying to monopolize some time.
Yeah, I am going to have to find some time to go back and watch the show. But while you were doing that, I took the liberties of looking up whether or not this is going to be the typical thing that you were mentioning. At least from what I see on TV Guide, NXT is only on for an hour on Wednesday, so that may very well be the thing from now on.
But I guess the question. I think an hour show is fine. Why do a second hour on a different platform? It feels very bizarre to me because, yes, I would guess that a lot of the people tuning in, the majority, maybe the vast majority of people that will tune in and the audience they're going to get on USA will also be network subscribers. I grant it, but do you really want to... If you're going to have storyline continuation and things like that on the show, do you really want to alienate people who don't want to buy your network? I mean, I can understand having a show that's network exclusive like they have. That's great. But it seems like a very odd move and something that I just don't care for.
This is WWE, you realize.
Good point, Mike. Very good point.
They are known for alienating their fans at points. But I'm looking forward to watching the show. I am also terrified of how much new wrestling and changed around wrestling is coming into my life right now. The same can be said about All Elite show Dynamite, I believe is what it's called.
Yep, Dynamite.
That is premiering the following week, next week,
yeah,
on
next week.
October 2nd mm-hmm. on TNT.
Yes, like, you got all that right.
Jesus Christ, like, I don't know what I'm going to do in order to try to keep up with some of this.
Yeah, I just spent the time today setting my DVR for all the new shows and making sure that this all set to go. My wife...
That probably took you like an hour and a half just to do that.
And by the way, my wife looks worried. Just the look at her face is very skeptical. She's very supportive.
Are you going to take up all of the... Right. The DVR space.
This is the most loving and supportive human being on the planet, and you can just kind of see going, that's a lot of wrestling. Yes, yes it is. That's a very true statement. Mike, are you ready to get into some other main roster? I guess NXT is the main roster now. You ready to get into WWE branded TV?
Yes, yes I am, Kevin.
All right, let's just get this whole thing out of the way. The WWE continues on Raw and SmackDown to put on matches, and I keep just going, why? They set up Seth and Braun as the main event of Raw. Why? It's one of these things where if you keep doing these matches over and over again for no stakes, this was not for the Universal Championship. This was just a rematch for the sake of a rematch. It was just to say Braun Strowman versus Seth Rollins on live television. But we knew it wasn't going to end with anything but something screwy. And if it did end without something screwy, it's going to hurt Braun or hurt Seth. There just seems to be no end to this. I don't get why they think this is necessary to A, have Seth Rollins or Braun wrestle on every episode. I don't understand why they think they have to put on these matches, these pay-per-view quality matches. They are only pay-per-view quality matches when they have a storyline build to it and we're thirsty to see it.
And neither it's on pay-per-view.
Well, but even then, if you build up, I'll say this. I thought that the King of the Ring Finals was a pay-per-view quality match put on live television, in my opinion. It was a built-up storyline. It was a tournament. We wanted to see it. These two, Gable and Corbin, had not crossed before because they're in opposite brackets. That, to me, is something that I want to see. If we just give ourselves a retread of the last pay-per-view with no stakes, just thrown together at the start of the show, there's no quality there. It's just a thing. I would literally rather see Seth Rollins go out and beat up No Way Jose than see Braun Strowman versus Seth Rollins there. I'd rather see that. And maybe I'm insane, but I just feel like it serves no purpose whatsoever on that show. And by trying to imagine that it does or pretend that it does, it's even more stupid and embarrassing. And having then The Fiend, of course, comes out and interrupts and takes out Braun Strowman in what was just the most repetitive thing that we have now seen on multiple occasions. This is the danger with Bray Wyatt. This is what I've worried about from day one. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Show up, mandible claw, stare. If we're going to see this two or three more times over the next two or three weeks, well, then why am I watching? I've already seen it multiple times. Overexposing this character is the last thing they need to do. That first segment, that last segment, were less than stellar television.
Maybe
thoughts?
Maybe Seth's greatest fear is being stared at. And because you would think that if this does happen time after time again, he'd be like used to it and like, all right, he stares at me. He doesn't attack me, but he stares at me. I'm cool about this. But yeah, they they got to find something new. They can't just keep on falling on their laurels with this and be like, oh, we got this. It's WWE MO is find something, beat it into the damn ground. And yeah, that has to stop. Michael Cole called the Braun Seth match the match we were all wishing for. Like, who? I didn't wish that. Did you wish that, Kevin?
No, we just saw it.
Exactly.
Definitively. The end. The challenger lost. Yeah, it's just that typical hyperbole that just drives me nuts on a regular basis. And the hyperbole always is one of the things that I mention so often. And it was flowing on Monday night because we had Corey Graves explaining to us how the original Sandwich Club have been so... Original Club Sandwich, sorry. Sandwich Club works too. The Original Club Sandwich.
That too.
Yeah. The Original Club Sandwich. Actually, let's go with Sandwich Club. The Original Sandwich Club. I feel like it's a Subway commercial now. The Original Sandwich Club has been so dominating, and have run roughshod over the whole WWE. When have they done that? They've not. Was it when they got beat up by a 50-year-old retired wrestler? Or was it the other time they got beaten up by a 50-year-old retired wrestler? Or was it the time that they lost their titles after having them for a week? When was the time where they were just so dominant? Is it when they lose multiple matches, not mixed tag matches, but multi-person matches? When? Don't tell me. Show me. Stop telling me things that aren't true. It is infuriating, and it makes you want to turn the television off.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe they're dominating at two sweeting one another because they are pretty good at that.
Maybe they're just kicking ass at house shows, man. But, you know, we don't get a chance to see those.
Or they're kicking ass at Monopoly behind the scenes.
That could be true as well.
That's most likely.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot to hang my hat on here in this episode of Raw. I really was disappointed that Corbin came out dressed in a new crown and cape. I was really hoping, I think I might have said it last week, I was hoping but was not holding my breath that this was a way to get rid of the whole real king gimmick to this King of the Ring. We do not need an idiot walking around in a stupid costume with a scepter and a crown. We need the prestige of winning a really incredible tournament. That's the rub. That's the important thing. Baron Corbin has no authority and can do nothing. Having Corey Graves talk about all the stuff that Baron Corbin, you know, it's his subjects, that's a good heel commentator thing to do. I'm completely fine with that. But giving this whole thing an air with the rest of the commentary, like this means something other than a tournament, is just a little stupid. And having Corbin dress up in another dumb outfit is going to do him no favors.
Yeah, I knew the moment that he came out wearing that I was like, Kevin has to just be like putting his head in his hands because this was what we thought possibly they were going to just get away from. Gable destroyed all of the stuff and okay, cool. Now they can have a storyline amongst themselves and nope. No, they just had to double down on that. And they have to continue to say like he has some type of authoritative powers in WWE that he can make decrements or whatever. Like, God, this is so lame.
His first decrement would be to declare the word decrement to be a word.
I was like, I don't think that's a word, but you know, we're gonna go with it.
It is now. I said when this King of the Ring thing started that one of the great things about the King of the Ring tournament, or any tournament, is that you can build multiple feuds off of it. They've done none of that. They built one feud off of it. Gable and Corbin. That's fine, but they had other opportunities. We've seen no continuation of other things in this tournament for feud-wise. And that's just a complete missed opportunity with all the television they have and all the repetitive matches they have.
You know
that's
what?
That's a shame.
I I'll debate you slightly on that.
Okay.
They built Cedric and AJ off of that because they had it. Now AJ wasn't in the tournament, exactly. But they had AJ beat up Cedric backstage before his match in the tournament, which helped cause him to lose.
Yeah, okay. That would have happened on any random Raw episode with him fighting in a match against anybody else.
This is
because
true. Yeah.
I'm talking about two guys fight in a tournament, they have beef because they fought against each other in the tournament, you build a storyline from them. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And I can't think of another example of that other than Gable and Corbin. If this DQ finish leads to Gable beating Corbin, all for it. But then we got Gable and Elias on SmackDown. Are we already spinning this off? What's happening here? I feel like they need to give Gable a rub because he was so over and so ready to win that crown, unfortunately. And they also see big things with Corbin, and they don't want to have either one of those guys lose a feud. I wouldn't be surprised they spin the thing off completely to Elias, and that would be a shame.
Like, yeah,
and that would be a shame because the storyline is built against Corbin. It's right there. It's actually something I want to see this.
And for the second week in a row, I feel like he won the crowd over on Raw. They were behind him during that match, like solidly. And maybe not as crazy as the week before, but he got the crowd behind them 2 weeks in a row. And yeah, it's against Baron Corbin, but it was, I think those fans genuinely wanted to see him win, not just see Corbin lose, but they wanted to see him win.
And they need to build off of that. And I think they would not want to sacrifice Corbin possibly for that because they gave him this King of the Ring tournament title. But you know what? The guy who came in second place ends up being the real breakout star. Still was effective. Still was effective.
Yeah.
So that's just one of my little minor beefs. And then, Mike, I got another big beef that I need to throw out here.
Oh, we got the beef.
We do. The 5-way elimination to fight Seth Rollins next week on Raw. First of all, he's already got a title match.
Yeah.
At Hell in a Cell.
But
what are you doing?
It's a season premiere. We got to have a title match.
Yeah. So because of that, I know that he's not going to lose.
Yeah.
Right? So
why?
That's just overall pretty dumb. But constantly putting other champions, tag champs, U.S. champ, intercontinental champions in these matches is really, really counterproductive. Do you want me to tell you why, Mike?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me tell you why. One, it results in champions losing matches because all three of the champions in that match lost. Bob Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and AJ Styles. All three are champions. All three did not win. So they all are they still champs? Are they still some of the best in the company? Well, they didn't look good in that situation. And champions should not be in a position where they lose constantly. WWE thinks differently, but it's a bad mistake. It also shows that the champions have no strong storylines that they're working on. If they had strong storylines, they would be working with those people on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, coming up on Friday nights. They would not be in random matches. If AJ Styles' feud with Cedric Alexander was so strong, he wouldn't be there. If Nakamura with, I guess, Ali wasn't just getting started, he wouldn't be working there. If Bob Roode and the tag champs had any real feud, he wouldn't be working it. He'd be doing something else. So it shows bad booking. And in general, it also shows that the titles that they're on their waist are not their ultimate goal. I do realize that the Universal Championship and the world title should be the ultimate goal, but the best IC champs, the best US champions, always treated their titles like they were the main event, like mm-hmm. they were the most important. That was the thing that they were focused on. And when you've got AJ Styles holding the US title and Shinsuke Nakamura holding the IC belt going, yeah, I don't really care about that. I got to be the world champ. while you're holding that championship, it devalues the belt. It makes it look not very important. It makes it a secondary title. It makes the tag champions look like, well, why are they tag champs? They wrestle in singles matches. It's all so off. And it is a huge symptom of why no other titles in that entire company matter. They don't matter. They have not been able to make a wrestler for 30 years. And it is just a symptom of bad booking, bad planning, and just being completely devoid of creativity.
I was going to say every single word in the same exact order that you said.
Really?
Yep. Have it written down right here. Yeah, you'll just have to take my word for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel you on that. And this is more WWE 101 multi-person matches. At least they had it for something. But yeah, just throwing champions in there and making the people who are already champions and making their already held titles seem like a foregone conclusion diminishes those titles infinitely over time. And it's just what they keep on doing. I will point out one good thing that I liked about this match is once we had it down to the final two, Rude and Mysterio, I loved the work here, and I loved how the crowd reacted to the whole thing. They cheered Rey Mysterio. They booed Rob Rude. I loved how they truly got in the typical alignment there for a short period of time, and it just made it feel kind of old school there for a bit, and just made me smile. And you know what? I'm sure that I'd like to see a Seth and Rey match. It'd probably be a fun little match if I didn't think that it was going to also probably get interrupted by The Fiend. And there's another legend for him to attack.
Yep.
So, yeah, that, whatever.
So I couldn't have said it better myself. This was not a terrible episode. It was not an unwatchable episode.
This was better than last week.
It was just an episode. And that's what it came down to me.
Yeah. And as for SmackDown, there were really only two things of note, or actually three things, I guess, of note to come out of this. The whole Rowan... Daniel Bryan, Luke Harper, Roman Reigns story continued at the top of the show. We got Roman cutting a promo to Bryan just being like, let's fight now. And I dug that. And I thought this was a fun match that they had. And all just leading to we're going to get a 2-on-2 match, which is a tag team match, I realize. That's what 2-on-2s are. Next week. So this continues, but this just reminds me of how much I love Bryan as a worker. Like, he can go against anyone and fight in anyone's style and be entertaining as hell. And I guess we do have a full-on Bryan face turn now that he's calling for the crowd to do the yes chant again.
Yeah, and that's encouraging. I mean, listen, Daniel Bryan as a babyface is great. I just loved him as a heel so much, and I just feel like we're missing out. But, hey, you know, good for him. Hopefully it leads to good things. They're doing a pretty good job. I think that Rowan is doing an adequate job. Not adequate. He's doing a fine job on the microphone.
Yeah, I thought that was some good work. He was getting somewhat chance, but those were just dickhead crowd members.
Well, Mike, we call those garbage people, and they're always around.
Yes.
They still think it's 2001? Yeah, 2001. 2002, maybe. Yeah, they're garbage people. They'll always be there, unfortunately. But, yeah, I think that Rowan is doing a good job. I still wish they would have given us any kind of lead up to his dominance by not having him be the weak link with Daniel Bryan. It does still seem like it's out of the blue, out of nowhere, but they're following up pretty well. They're making him look strong. They're giving him some microphone time. He's stepping up to the plate. And if they continue with this, they might have made a new... I still don't think he's anything more than a stumbling block or a roadblock for someone like Roman Reigns, but...
Not quite Braun level?
No, I don't think at all. I don't think that we're going to get to that level with him. But another Samoa Joe type character. I think Samoa Joe is infinitely better as far as an in-ring worker and a microphone. I mean, Samoa Joe's one of the best in the business, but the way they've used Joe, which is someone who can just come out of nowhere, be a force of nature, be in a solid feud, lose, and then come out again and be a solid worker. Rowan may not have those chops, but they might be able to get away with using him in that way for a little while.
That makes sense. Yeah. I know that this is going to be the thing I'm going to hold out to the day I die. I'll be on my deathbed. I still think Brian was in on it with Rowan and Harper, still is. I still want to hold out that hope on that one, but, that seems to be diminishing, as each week goes by.
There was a guy on What Culture that just was convinced that the whole Dean Ambrose thing was a work.
Yeah, I remember that.
Up until like he appeared on on AEW, and that's what you just said reminded me of.
I think mine holds a little more water because all these people are still employed. But yeah, I could see that. I don't really see a whole lot of reason to talk about this other than it just feels weird that we had Carmella kind of be a Becky placeholder for like a week and a half because she was in this tag team match and then Becky just kind of gets slotted in there because they're going to have that be a tag team match next week as well. So was it just that Becky couldn't be on the show last week and this was their way of filling it in? I don't know.
I'm going to go with a solid maybe.
But,
yeah. Not good enough for you? Okay, Mike. I'm going to go with yes.
Maybe yes. And then, but the big stuff was at the end, really. Shane, KO. I mean, I guess it's not super big. This is the most convoluted way to get to where they're going. I'm glad we're not going to get any silly courtroom type stuff that I was alluding to last week. So thank you for that. But this is not, I'm not a lawyer, but this is not how legal proceedings usually work out in a ring in front of thousands of people.
What? You're not a lawyer.
I am not.
You're not.
Let me just double check.
So you're saying I should get a second opinion on that thing.
I'm not saying that.
Okay. Good. Let's wrap this up because I've got to make a couple phone calls.
Okay. So we're going to have a ladder match, and in the ladder is going to be a contract that has both stipulations on it, and whoever grabs it gets to act upon their stipulation on that contract, legal document, legal pad, sticky note, napkin. I don't know. This is very convoluted, isn't it? Shane potentially off TV.
Did you ever watch Aqua Teen Hunger Force?
Yes.
There was a episode with the Moonanites where Ignignot and Ur come down and they're saying something crazy and convoluted. And one of them goes, "Don't think about it." That is what I was thinking about when this was happening. Don't think about it. Just this is a deal and just go with it, guys. We promise it's going to be okay. Shane McMahon's going away. And that's what I'm kind of holding on to. I like you. Know that anything they were going to do with any courtroom, anything was going to be bad. I know this, okay? But Kevin Owens can be, and he has not been, by the way, as nearly as much as he has been in the past. He can be one of the most entertaining people in the professional wrestling business, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have found him to be not nearly as compelling as a character over the last month as he has the potential to be. But he can be. And the thought of him in some courtroom-ish scenes, it could have been entertaining. I could have seen them pulling a rabbit out of a hat there. But no, the fact that they're not going to do that is a good thing. I like the idea of a ladder match. I'm so happy they didn't put this in another cell match.
Yeah. That's what I thought they were going to go with at first. Yeah. Just make a third one. But they teased it. They had a briefcase out there. I'll give them credit for kind of leading us in a direction that they set up and having it be a bit of a surprise.
So if this all leads to what we all want to see, I'm all for it. I hope it works, and I hope that Kevin Owens, he did take a little more of a badass role this week, but it still seems very scripted and very safe. Yeah. And I feel like Kevin Owens has such great comic timing and can be so sharp. It just doesn't feel like he is right now. And it might just be because his storyline peaked like a month and a half ago. It might be because of the timing has been so poor with it that this whole storyline is just flat. But that's what the next pay-per-view is for. That's what the next level of this feud can lead to. So hopefully we'll get some good stuff.
Aspects of the way that Kevin Owens has been acting are not unfamiliar to us. Him talking about having to look out for his family has been a part of his character and who he is since practically day one. But the fact that you talked about it last week, how they were building him up as this stone cold, like badass character to, instead of when the authority had it up against him, go, I'm going to kick your ass, going, I'm going to sue you. That it just doesn't fit that. That's not a Kevin Owens type of thing. He wants to fight for his family. He's going to fight, not get a lawyer involved. That's the weird thing about all of this is that the meat of it makes sense. We've seen it before, but it just, how they put the sandwich together just isn't exactly right.
I agree 100%.
So that does it for our final talk about Tuesday SmackDown Live. SmackDown gonna be not so live. They're going to record. Are they doing this episode live and then going to recording, or are they?
No, I think it's live.
It's going to be live. Oh, okay.
I thought so.
I thought I had heard before that they might go back to recording and taping SmackDown, but if they're going to stick to live, then cool. Then
I just saw something come up on my news feed saying, Kevin Owens and McMahon booked in a loser leaves town match. Remember those?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's a little blast from the past.
Actually, yeah, I just saw the same thing pop up on
Twitter.
Stop here.
Being a follower, bro.
But God. I like following you.
Oh.
You walk slowly. I can keep up.
Just for you, Mike.
Thank you. Anything else that you want to touch on before we sign off here and decide on how the hell we're going to go about the show from now on?
I don't think so. I mean, I gushed over NXT and thought that was great. I bitched about several things on Raw, which I thought were not great. And I'm good.
Okay. Well, yeah, thanks everyone for joining us, and stay tuned to us on Twitter at Miss Spots, where we'll hopefully announce soon after this episode comes out what the release schedule is going to be like, if we're going to stick with Thursdays or move to Fridays. We'll figure that out shortly and let everyone know, but as always, you can always stay subscribed to the show on any of the podcasting services like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and you'll still get every episode delivered to you free of charge on whatever day that is. Also, check out our website, MissBotsPodcast.com. Also, MissBots.com. You can follow us on Instagram, too, at MissBots. Like us on Facebook. And otherwise, we will see you on the next episode. Good night. Good wrestling.